Romans chapter 12, verse number 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Heavenly Father, we would ask, Lord, your help. We're going to, by your direction, deal with a very specific topic and something that I pray will be of a help to all of God's people. We pray for that one that may be here without Christ. We always wish for them to be saved. We ask, Lord, that you'd bring to their heart, Lord, the understanding of Christ's love for them, his death on Calvary to pay for the sins of all mankind, and the open invitation, whosoever will may come. I pray that, Lord, you would speak to that one that may be here without Christ. And then, Lord, for those of us that are saved, give us good admonition this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to have you look at verse number 18, and then we're going to go back to the book of Proverbs. We have been on Wednesday nights teaching out of the book of Proverbs quite extensively. I was preparing in advance for a lesson that I had thought to schedule to preach several weeks from now on a Wednesday night, and felt like that the Lord pushed upon me the importance of these things and the help it would be to an entire Sunday morning congregation. And so we're redirecting our teaching out of Proverbs in an effort to help all of you here this morning. I want to talk about strife this morning. I want to give you some instruction concerning strife. The Bible says in verse number 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, watch this, live peaceably with all men. There's a lot of contention in the world today. There's a lot of strife in the world today. It just seems like there's a lot of people battling each other. And I think the devil's behind it. I'll just tell you that. I think if you'll study the Bible, you'll understand that God's for unity. And God said, it was Christ that said on the mount, Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. And I think that we all have to deal with this. It's a very real thing. Some of you live in an environment, in an atmosphere where there's a lot of strife. People aren't getting along within your own immediate family. That's tough. That's a hard environment to have to live in. And others say, preacher, most of the time it's fairly peaceful at home, but it seems like where I have to go to work every day, I'm just amazed at the amount of conflict and strife and the problems that seem to arise. And I think God knew that these things would happen. One of the great blessings of the book of Proverbs is the wisdom that it gives us to help us to learn how to live peaceably with all men. The Bible says this, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I have two thoughts about that in introduction. Real quick, here it is. First of all, you know what? You can increase your ability to live peaceably with all men by putting the right things in you. And so you can just say, well, that verse gives me an okay to not get along with folks because it's just not in me to do it. Well, we're going to show you this morning that the Bible teaches us from the book of Proverbs how to live peaceably with all men. Number two, I get this from this introductory verse. No matter what you do, there's some people that will never you'll never be able to live peaceably with. Because you know what? They won't have it. And so I think that's why God, anybody know somebody like that? Anybody have a face flash in front of their eyes? And you say, preacher, no matter what I do, there's some people that just, they will not get along with others. Yes, I get that. But still, folks, we ought to be able to lay our head down at night knowing that we've done everything that we could do to be at peace with people. And so I'm going to direct you back to the book of Proverbs and encourage you. And if you've got a pen and paper, this is, honestly, this is probably going to resemble more of a Bible study than an average Sunday morning preaching service. I'd like you to jot down 5 questions. That's it, just 5 questions. 5 questions to ask when dealing with strife. Preacher, I'm in a situation where I'm just at odds with somebody and there's a lot of contention, there's not a lot of strife. I want you to ask yourself 5 questions, because in dealing with the Scriptures, God teaches us that there is a way, I believe, that we can learn how to better get along with people than perhaps we do. Proverbs chapter 15, let me give you that direction. I'm going to give you 5 questions to jot down. We won't spend a long time on any of them. We'll move right along. 5 questions to ask when dealing with strife. Number 1, here it is. How long is my fuse? How long is my fuse? Proverbs 15 and verse number 18, if you look at that scripture, the Bible says, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." Think about that. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. So the Bible is describing 2 different types of men here. One that is prone or bent towards wrath. They seem to wake up a little bit mad at the world, and the longer they go through the day, the more angry they become. And the Bible says if you're walking around with inward anger in your heart, guess what? You're going to meet strife that day. If you have a short fuse, somebody's going to light it, and it's going to go off quickly. And so, number 1, you have to say, how long is my fuse? Which of these 2 statements best describe me? Am I wrathful or am I slow to anger? Move over, if you will, in your Bible to Proverbs 29. By the way, get ready to use your Bibles. We're going to move through Proverbs quite a bit. Proverbs 29, verse number 22. Notice this again. Proverbs 29, 22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. And so again, we see that if you're wrathful or angry, you'll stir up strife. Proverbs 15, 18. Proverbs 29, 22. They both agree in this. They repeat this thought of the fact that if we are inwardly angry and wrathful and have a short fuse, and it doesn't take us much to get us mad, that guess what? There's going to be increased strife in the life of that individual. Are you listening to me, young people? Now, how much does it take to get you mad? How much does it take to get you in an argument? How much does it take to get your back up? How much does it take to send you over the edge? And the Bible's saying this: if you're going to walk around with a wrathful, angry countenance about you, then you know what? You're going to stir up a lot of strife. Notice Proverbs 30 and verse 33. I think a very interesting, very descriptive verse concerning this matter of anger and what it produces in our life. Proverbs 30 and verse 33. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter. Got that? And the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. Got that picture? So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. The Bible says you pour milk in it. Some of you folks that remember those days, and you go to churning that milk, guess what's going to happen? Butter's going to come. You grab somebody's nose and you twist it long enough, guess what's going to come? Blood's going to come. You walk around mad with a chip on your shoulder, guess what? Strife's coming. Just as milk churned will turn into butter, and just like a nose wrung will produce blood, an angry man is going to produce some strife. Now, listen to me real quick. Oh, preacher, you don't understand. I'm just Irish. It's amazing how we take an entire group of people and blame them for our temper, you know. I just got a short fuse. My dad was that. Well, my grandpa, it's genetics. No, it's not. No, it's not. Here's the question I'd like you to ask yourself. Folks, what are you really mad about? Now, let's turn this into a little counseling session for a second. What are you really mad about? I see somebody's got a short temper, and they want to say, well, I got mad today about this, and I got mad today about that, and I got mad today about this. No, no, you're waking up mad. Come on. And what's happening is little things are happening, and it's lighting a fuse, setting off a short fuse, because there's something you haven't dealt with. Come on, what are you really mad about? Who are you mad at? Because if we don't get down to that, we're not going to fix this thing. I probably deal, boy, look right up here, young man. I probably deal more with this complaint in young marriages than any other complaint. My husband's just angry. He's mad. He loses it. He's screaming. He's hollering. He goes off on the kids, throws things. Now, you know why it's quiet in here? We're touching something. But this isn't just unique to men. Come on, ladies. Are you listening to me? Preacher, it just seems like there's a lot of strife in my life. Here's the first question you need to ask. How long's your fuse? How long is my fuse? Do you exasperate a situation because you react in anger? Let me show you a wonderful little verse in Proverbs chapter 17 that'll help you, I think, in this and get a visual picture of this. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 14, Proverbs 17 verse 14, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. And what you have to understand is when the potential for strife arises in a situation, you know what? You have a choice to make. It's kind of like water getting ready to burst a dam. It doesn't start with a large wall. It starts with a trickle. You know, early on it can be fixed quickly. A disaster can be diverted. You can put your finger over the hole, or you can take a sledgehammer and start hitting the hole. The peaceable man puts his finger on the hole and stops the flood. The angry man goes to swinging a sledgehammer. Before long, you've got a flood. You've got destruction. You've got hurt. The beginning of strife is as one when one letteth out water. Therefore, watch this. Leave off contention. Leave off contention. The best advice I can give, and I've given it privately quite a bit, is this. Folks, listen to me. It takes two to argue. Listen to me. The winner is not the one that has the last word. The winner is the one that has enough wisdom to stop. Okay, maturity knows when to pull the plug on a situation. Maturity knows when to stand up and say, okay, we need to stop, because this isn't, we've been down this road before and we both know what's at the end of it. It's time to stop. And so I'm going to go take a walk. And if you're here when I get back, I'm going to shoot you. No. Sorry, I had to break the tension a little bit here. Yeah, I mean, leave it off. Leave off contention. Wise is the young person that understands when they push mom and dad about as far as you're going to push them. Now listen, folks, there ain't nothing good down that road. There's a time when you need to back that truck up. Okay? Listen, sir, you come home. Okay, she's not in the best of moods. You don't have to push her over the edge. Stop pushing the buttons. But it's so cool to watch her blow up. No, it's not. Stop. Okay. You can tell when he's had a rough day. There's times to bring things up, and there's times to leave things alone. But I've been thinking about this all day. You need to probably think about it for two or three more days. How long is my fuse? Now, nowhere in the Bible, by the way, you can see that Jesus at times say, oh, it's a sin to people sometimes. Oh, it's a sin to get angry. You better study the life of Jesus Christ. It's not a sin to be angry. At times, Christ got angry. It's not getting angry that's a sin. It's what you're getting mad about. You know what? There are some things. Listen, when I heard what our president said about homosexual marriage, I got mad. I think God got mad. I think Christ got mad. I got mad too. Here's the key to life when it comes to this thing of anger. Listen, get mad about the things that the Lord would get mad about, and leave alone the things the Lord would leave alone. Are you getting that? How short's your fuse? You know, here's a preacher. How do I fix this? You fix this by asking the Lord to help you in this area. Confessing this thing is, are you listening? Confess it as sin. God, in this area of my life, I'm undisciplined. There is something that's wrong. I need your Holy Spirit to search me. These little things in life should not cause this much anger. Lord, reveal to me, what am I really mad about? Then I need to go back and I need to take care of and I need to settle at the foot of the cross. So number one, how long is your fuse? Number two, here's a second one. Do I just like to argue? Now I'm going to read some verses and I'm just going to give you this admonition. Proverbs 21, verse number 19. If you'll look there, Proverbs 21 and verse number 19. Do I just like to argue? Say, preacher, nobody likes to argue. Come on. Come on, some of you personality types, you like it. Yes, you do. You haven't felt like you've lived a day if you haven't gotten a good throwdown with somebody. Proverbs 21:19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a, here it is, contentious and an angry woman. The Bible says if we're not careful, one of the attributes we can have is we just can become contentious. We're just walking around looking for an argument. We're walking around with a chip on our shoulders. Have you become contentious? Proverbs 27 and verse number 15. Ladies, these verses, first two verses are directed towards women. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Listen, your husband, he just doesn't come home. He doesn't come home right from work. He's always finding a reason to go somewhere. Maybe he just doesn't want to come home and argue. By the way, men, go home after work. I'm not giving you permission not to. But you know what? The home ought to be a happy place. There's a lot of stuff out there that your husband's dealt with in the workaday world. You know what he wants when he comes home? He wants peace. He wants peace. I understand that you may have to talk to him about some things that have happened through the day, and I know your kids are all demon-possessed, and you've been waiting all day for him to come home and straighten them out, and I get that, and I'm saying, you know what? But do you have to hit him with it before he gets the car door shut? Let him have an hour to think everything's all right. Get him a glass of iced tea. I like this. I like this old-fashioned preaching. Used to be a day when, you know what, a man would come home and he'd be met at the door with a wife that had a cold glass of iced tea and a kiss and some affection and some understanding. And now he's hearing her voice screeching from the back porch and he wants to shut the door and drive back to work because it was more peaceful there. Don't get too much comfortable, guys. We're coming. The Bible's coming at us in a minute, too. Verse 21, the Bible says, chapter 27, verse 15, chapter 27, verse 15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. And so what the Bible's saying here is be careful. You can literally develop the personality of contentiousness. Would this be a fair description? Come on, we can't get help if we're not going to face some things. Are you just argumentative? Are you just looking for confrontation? Now, folks, the first thing we had to ask ourselves is this. What am I really mad about? The second thing we need to ask ourselves is what am I really unhappy about? It's not these little things. There's something inside that you're unhappy about. And you've got to face these things out with the Lord. Proverbs chapter 26, you should be real close there. Verse 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to a fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So it's not just women that become contentious in nature. Men can become contentious in nature. Many of you, again, men that go out and work, through my past of working out in the workaday world, there's almost on every job I ever worked in my life, it seems like there was that personality, that guy that's just every day coming home or coming to work looking for an argument or a fight or some type of strife. He's going to create something. Listen, folks, that person's no fun to be around. And honestly, once you understand the scripture, you begin to understand and feel not anger back towards them, but pity, because there's something in their life that's broken that needs to be fixed. Do I just like to argue? If you do, here's my suggestion. Become a lawyer. Okay, go to work. Get paid for it. But when you come home, stop it. Nip it in the bud. Okay? Here's the goal. Have a conversation that doesn't turn into an argument. Join a debate team if you need to. But when you come home, stop. You see, what we have to do is we have to start looking at these things not as that's just who I am or that's just my personality, but we've got to start dealing with these things as sin. I've just got a short temper. Then you need to confess that sin to the Lord. I just like to argue. You need to confess the sin of contentiousness to the Lord. Okay? How long is my fuse? How or do I just like to argue? Number three. Here's a great question for you. And boy, this is a whole sermon unto itself. Who are my friends? Who's influencing me? Now, I could help you a lot right here. If there's certain people that every time you spend time with them, you leave in a bad, contentious mood looking for a fight, then you need to stop hanging around them. I mean that. Some of you kids are good kids. You have the potential to be great kids. But you're hanging around a bunch of knuckleheads. Okay? Listen to me. Let's look at these. The Bible says there's four types of individuals that will always stir up strife. Proverbs 17:19. Again, grab your Bibles. Keep moving through them real quick, all right? The backslider will stir up strife. Proverbs 17:19. He loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. He loveth transgression that loveth strife. If you hang around people that are backslidden and not right with God and out of God's will, you know what? You're going to pretty soon have a contentious spirit about you. He that loves transgressions loves strife. Boy, I could help you here. Young people, listen to me. Make your friends among those that are faithful to church and have a heart to serve the Lord and are positive about the things of God. You hang around backsliders, it's going to affect your heart. Okay, stay away from them. But I'm going to reach them. I'm going to win them back. How's that going? I've often said this, and other preachers have also. If I set a dining room table up here and I put you on top of it, and I put a man down here your size, equal size, and you locked arms, and I said to you, pull him up. And I said to him, pull him down. Who's going to win every single time? Gravity works on their side. It's a lot easier to pull somebody down than it is to pull them up. And you know, folks, I'm not against, listen, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. But a lot of times people that really do not have the spiritual maturity to be messing around with restoration goes to help restore somebody. And the next thing you know, they've got the same sin problem and the same bad spirit problem as the person they were going to go help. Be nice to them. You see them on the street, say hi. Tell them you're praying for them. Tell them you love them. But I'm telling you, socially, you're making a mistake by hanging around people that are backslidden and out of the will of God. Next thing you know, you're the one causing strife. Next thing you know, you're not happy about anything. You've listened to their excuses to the point where they start affecting your spirit. Number two, second type of individual that always stirs up strife is the scorner. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 10. Look at these verses. What I'm telling you is this, if you're having trouble in this area of your life and it seems like you're always in an argument, you're always in contention, your life is full of strife, you've got to ask some honest questions. Who are my friends? Proverbs 22:10, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. How do I get strife out of my life, contention out of my life? You got to get rid of a scorner. The Bible doesn't say make peace with them. The Bible says cast them out. Get rid of them. Who is a scorner? Look up the definition. We don't have time to preach. By the way, I will spend a whole Wednesday night going through and explaining to you in detail about this person. I believe more Christians are making a mistake in this area of their life than any other area. There's people that are pegged in this area. They have all the attributes of a scorner, and you're still hanging around with them. I'm telling you, they will destroy you. What is a scorner, preacher? A scorner is a backslider who gets to the point where they're so bold in their backsliding that they begin to openly and publicly rise up against authorities in their life. This is the person that challenges verbally and sometimes even physically, God help them, their parents. This is the person that wants to stand up in the middle of the classroom and mouth off back to a teacher. This is the person that has no problem walking around the church before and after publicly criticizing the authorities of the church. They're a scorner. You're not going to win it. There's no way to defuse it. There's no way to change it. The Bible says to do two things. It says smite the scorner and cast him out. That's what it said. There just gets to be some people that, you know what, they're just toxic to a situation. It's not that they couldn't be helped. It's they don't want to be helped. They're more worried about teaching others rebellion than they are getting right with God. Who are your friends? Come on now. Are you hanging around a backslider? Are you hanging around a scorner? Number three, a talebearer. Proverbs chapter 26. Look there. Proverbs 26, verse number 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, watch this, the strife ceaseth. More than a backslider, more than a scorner, I think more good Christians have been affected by talebearers, and more strife has been caused by talebearers than maybe any other person in the world. The Bible goes on to say there in verse 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. If you're going to hang around gossips, you're going to always be in a conflict with somebody. You see, folks, here's the thing. You're going to get negative feelings towards people because of things that you are told about them, and you did not hear both sides. You do not know what really happened. You're just listening to somebody that's antagonistic about... Listen, if I can teach you something here, here's the best way that I can help. Listen, there are problem solvers and there are problem spreaders. Gossips are problem spreaders. If there's a problem, you go to the authorities in that situation who have the power to help resolve that problem. You go to an authority if you're a problem solver. If you're a problem spreader, you run around to other people and spread the problem, people who aren't even involved in the problem, people who can't do anything about the problem. That's the difference between somebody that wants to resolve a problem and somebody just wants to spread a problem. Now, I could help you right here. I don't know why I've got this kind of angry spirit about me. I don't know why I'm always antagonistic. I don't know why I'm walking around with these feelings, because of who you're letting have your ear. Okay, I decided a long time ago, people aren't going to come to me with junk. I mean this. Now, I'm in a position of authority. I've got a certain amount of influence. And if somebody comes to me in the right spirit and there's a real problem, I'm more than happy to sit down if they are interested in really resolving something. But I'm just not... Listen, I don't gossip. I don't listen. I'm not the preacher that other preachers call to tell about some other preacher. They'll do it once. They'll never do it again. I don't have time for that junk. I'm not interested in every... Listen, if I can be a part of the solution of it, fine. If I'm not... It's not. I don't have anything to do with it. I don't want to know about it. Ignorance is bliss. I don't need to know everything. I don't want to know everything. Okay? And so what I'm saying is you've got to be careful. I can help you young people. Some of you, you fight this contentious spirit in your heart, and you deal with so much strife. And honestly, if you take an honest look, first of all, in the mirror, are you backslidden? Are you a scorner? Are you a talebearer? And if you're not, who are you allowing to influence you? Proverbs 18, verse number 6. Proverbs 18, verse number 6. The last person that is always stirring up strife is who the Bible calls the fool. Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calls for strokes. Now, one of the attributes of a fool is that they want always with their mouth to cause some type of contention. Young lady, listen to me. I want to help some of you. Be very careful of the young lady who insists that in order for you to be their friend, you have to dislike other young ladies. That young lady is a fool. If you're going to be her friend, then you're not going to be my friend. What are you, 7? Okay, that's like second grade playground stuff. Are you listening to me? Just be careful of it. Now, you have to ask this question. Who are my friends? Who am I allowing to influence me? Why am I mad about things that don't even have anything to do with me? Why am I always stirred up about this or stirred up about that? Who are you hanging around? Number one question, how long is my fuse? Preacher, it's short. Confess that is sin. Do I just like to argue? Okay, I got a little bit of a contentious spirit. Confess it is sin. Who are my friends? Well, you're right, preacher. There's people that I'm loving that have access to my heart and my mind. Here's the solution for that. Separate yourself from those who are always looking for strife. Okay, if somebody's always carrying something to you to enforce their and your dislike for another human being, they're not your friend. Shut them down. Okay? Because they're invested in creating strife. Turn to Proverbs chapter 26. Two more questions. Here they are. Number four, here's a great question. Is this any of my business? Is this any of my business? Proverbs 26 and verse number 17. Watch this. He that passeth by. I don't know why they want to change the Bible. I love the descriptive nature of the old King James Bible. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. You ever heard the old saying, let lying dogs lie? So you got a pit bull, and it's just laying there asleep. And you're going to go and grab hold of its ears and start twisting them? What are you, nuts? You just want to get bit? Okay, if I'm going visiting and I go to a house and they got a rather large dog and he's leaving me alone, I leave him alone. I don't walk up and say, well, just in case I turn my back and tries to bite me, before that ever happens, I'm just going to walk up and kick him in the side of the head so he knows who's the boss here. If I did that, you'd look at me and say, Pastor, you've lost your mind. That's how I feel about some of you that will not leave things alone that don't concern you one bit. Parents, you can train your children right if you'll listen to me. The next time your child comes home and says, Mom, you know what so-and-so told me about so-and-so? You need to look at them and say, that is none of our business, and it's none of your business, young lady, young man. None of your business. No, I'm not interested in what so-and-so said to so-and-so because it's none of our business. Do you get that? And start punishing them instead of rewarding them for bringing you the latest snippet of gossip. Somebody comes to me with something. Pastor, I feel like you need to know about it. I say, a lot of times I'll stop them and say, wait a minute, do I have to know about this? Because if I don't have to, I'd just as soon not. I think one of the saving graces when it comes to the peace of God in my life is I've learned what is in my circle and what's outside of my circle. And if it's outside of my circle, God bless you, I'll pray for you, but I really don't want to be involved in it. If it's inside my circle and I can have some influence for good, then I want to help. But if it's outside of my circle, it's none of my business. I don't spend my life trying to pastor other people's churches. I don't. Well, what would you do if you were brothers? I don't know. Well, haven't you thought about it? No. Well, why? Because I'm not him. Did you hear what so-and-so did? What would you have done? It's none of your business. It's none of your business. Let me help ministry-wise here, okay? Brother Jeff's over Master's Club, and Brother Sagercy helped with Master's Club. If you're a Sunday school teacher and somebody comes to you and said, you know, I just wanted to let you know that they're doing this in Master's Club. What do you think about that? Can I just share something with you, Sunday school teacher? It's none of your business. It's really none of your business. Well, they're doing this and this, and I think they ought to do it this, this, and this. Are you over it? No, then what are you... Listen, if we would take the time that we're discussing what we would do if we were in a certain position and take that thinking time and decide how to do what is given to us in our position, we could be a success. When I was here on staff, my dad gave me certain areas of oversight as an assistant pastor. My areas of oversight was the school. My areas of oversight was the Christian school. And there were a few other areas that I had oversight of. If it wasn't in my area of oversight, I left it alone. Okay, Master's Clubs wasn't under my area of oversight. Somebody come to me once and say, do you know what goes on in Master's Club? Nope. Well, aren't you interested? Nope. Do you know anything about Master's Club? Yep. I know all my daughters come on Wednesday night and say, dollar. Dollar. I don't even know if Master's Club charged a dollar. They may have been taking that money and sticking it in a bank account, playing the horses. I don't know. I don't know what they were doing with it. You just said dollar, and I just gave them one. Well, preach. It's none. Watch it. Watch it. It's none of my business. Pastor did not ask me to oversee Master's Club. Somebody else's business, not mine. I could help some of you have decided that your pastor is really not the person who God made overseer of the church. Really, it's you. And you have elevated yourself to be the person who has an opinion about everything that goes on at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and most of the time you don't even know what you're talking about. Yeah, but somebody told me. Exactly. I'm sure a gossip will be honest with you. I'm sure they're going to tell you the whole story. I'm sure they're going to tell you what their little darling did that caused the leaders to have to do what they did. I'm sure. Now, if you want to stick your head in the sand and close your ears right now and act like this preacher don't know what he's talking about, go ahead. But there's a reason that you're always into strife and contention around here that you really don't have any business being in. Okay? All right? Are you getting this? Is this any of my business? Here's the last one. Well, here's maybe the most important one. Go to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Just give you a very practical 5 questions. Next time you get in strife or an argument, you ought to stop, look back at the situation, ask these 5 questions, and learn how could it be avoided next time. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Watch this. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Here's the last question. Where's the pride? Where's the pride? Well, what do you mean, where's the pride? Because if there's contention and there's strife, there's pride. Where is it? Now, if you've got into it with 40 people so far this year in this church, and they've always been the one that has the pride problem, I'm going to clue you in on something. There's a common denominator you're missing. Come on. Where's the humility of Christ? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a, and was made in the likeness of, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, folks, listen to me. People that have a humble spirit about them, you'll find out they don't get into much spats. Well, yeah, but they just let themselves be used. No, no, that's your pride talking. Okay? That's your pride talking. You're more worried about winning at the end of the day than you are unity and peace. Okay? Who cares? Who cares? You know how many times I've sat across the table with a young couple, and young couples, listen, I really am trying to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you here. I promise you, you're sitting there thinking, oh, he's preaching this whole message at me. He must have heard what's going on in my house. I'll tell you what's going on in your house. The same thing's going on in most of the young couples' houses around here. Come on. Let me take a little pressure off of you. Guess what? First 5 years of marriage, a little rough. Anybody want to say amen that's preaching, that's been down the road a little bit? Next 5 years of marriage, really rough. Preacher, you're discouraging me. The next 20 after that, pretty good. This takes you about 10 years to sort things out, get smart enough to know how to do it. I'm serious. People that bail out of a marriage after 4 or 5 years, you're an idiot. I'm serious. You've fought that long, you're closer to the finish line. Finish it, man. There's good ahead. What are you going to do? Go and remarry somebody else, and then you got to start all over and do another 10 years? You're going to bail out of that. Oh, you're never going to get to the good part. I'm serious. Yeah, come on now. Yeah, you go. First of all, you got to get out of your 20s to have a good marriage. Sorry, Isaac. There's exceptions. These two are the exception, right? Most people, I'm serious. Most people have to get out of their 20s to have a good marriage. You know why? Watch this. Look right up here at me. I'll help you. Because all 20-somethings are stinking selfish. Well, not all. 99.99999. Good stuff. Home run. Come on. Yeah, come on. I put you in an electric chair and made you take a polygraph, and if you got it wrong, the needle didn't go, you got zapped into eternity. You know what you'd say? Yeah, I'm pretty selfish. You'd say it because you're selfish. You're trying to save your own life, you know. No, I'm serious. Most 20-somethings, really, when it boils right down to it, are more concerned about you getting your way and you doing what you want to do than you are the other person. It just comes with some immaturity, and you know what? You'll go through it, and you'll wake up, and you're going to have a few spats over. Maybe by the time you hit 30-something, get into that, you start growing up a little bit and realize, you know what? God didn't give me this wife, you know what, for me to mistreat and ignore and abuse. He gave me this wife so that I could love her. And some of you young ladies, about time you get out of your 20s, figure out that God didn't create your husband to spend his entire life fawning over you. He created your husband to do a work for God and to accomplish some things in this life, and he created you to be a helpmeet. And you get over your selfishness, and you decide you're going to partner with him to make him a success instead of trying to make him make his life's calling, making you happy. It was a grand slam, brother. That emptied the bases right there. Come on. Yeah. It's all right. You know what I'm saying to this? I'm not trying to beat up on you. I'm saying hang in there. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. But, you know, the next time y'all get done and you've had a good old-fashioned, you know, throw the dishes and rattle the windows and you ought to go to your separate corners and sit down with a piece of paper with 5 questions on it. And this is what you ought to ask yourself. How long is my fuse? Did I really exhibit the character trait of slow to anger? Do I just like to disagree? Do I just like to fight? Who's influencing me? Listen, young wife, if you're going to hang around another young wife that does nothing but badmouth their husband all the time, you're going to come home mad at your husband, and he didn't even do the things her husband did. And guys, if you're going to hang out at the lunch table with the guys that sit around and talk horrible about their wives all the time, you're going to come home mad at your wife, and she didn't do any of those things. Who are you hanging around? Who are your friends? Is this any of my business? And where's the pride? A lot of times when we look in the mirror and we say, "Search me, O God, know my heart," God takes these five questions and deals with us to help us to learn how to properly deal with disagreements and how to avert strife in our lives. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we were able to spend. I pray, Lord, that these things have been profitable. Help us, Lord, to keep our vows and keep our commitments. Help us to work out our differences. Help us to love as you would love. May the truths that you've given us this morning allow things to be put in our hearts that cause that which lieth in us to be deeper, better, more patient, more long-suffering. I pray that we would seek the role of peacemaker. And Lord, we would find that in most cases, it does lie within us to live peaceably with all men. Lord, I haven't preached a salvation message. I'm always concerned about someone may come in. There is no peace outside of Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. To try to have a resolving of conflict and strife in a person's life outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is a waste of time and energy. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Lord, may we understand that every problem in life, the first step to fixing it is to be born again, to be saved. If there's someone here without Christ, I pray that they'd be saved. Bless our invitation time, we pray. In Jesus' name.